Hi, this is Kat Adams. The Made in USA label obviously has a lot of meaning for me, and I hope for you, the listener, as well. It's a badge of honor that can betoken patriotism, or a commitment to fair labor, or quality, or community. And when that badge of honor is stolen, American manufacturers and consumers suffer alike. Today, in the Manufacturing Report's special Build Back Better Blueprint series, Alliance for American Manufacturing President Scott Paul shares what progress the U.S. government has made already in defending the integrity of Made in USA labeling, and what the next 4 years could hold in terms of enforcement policy. That's next on the Manufacturing Report. Thank you, Scott, for joining me again today on the Manufacturing Report to share more in our blog series and podcast series, Build Back Better Blueprint. Today, we're talking about Made in USA labeling, which is, you know, obviously something that a lot of consumers would find really relevant. But before we get started, could you kind of give me a sense of why Made in USA labeling is so valuable and how consumers perceive it? Because we do have some data there.
We do, Kat. And thanks for having me on to talk about this topic. So there is a requirement in law that says that goods have to have a country of origin label physically affixed to them, you know, that it's made in America or imported, made in China, made in Mexico, et cetera. And that's been in the law for some time. But there are loopholes and abuse and fraud. And here's why that matters. There are a lot of Americans, in fact, tens of millions of Americans who look at these labels when they're making a purchasing decision. And the Made in USA label has some value to them. That value could be the fact that it means they're supporting local businesses and workers, creating jobs here. Could be responsible production that is more environmentally friendly, that doesn't involve necessarily shipping, that uses up a lot of really dirty fuel. It could be that they're promoting high labor standards in the United States and don't want to see a race to the bottom. It could be product quality. It could be any of those things. And as a result, there is a tangible value to this label. And some people are willing to pay more for a Made in America product than for a product that's been imported. So knowing accurately where that product is produced is important for the Made in America producers, and for consumers as well. And we know this because there have been poll after poll that have shown that Americans love Made in America products. 92% of Americans have a favorable view of goods made in America compared to just 27% that have a favorable view of goods made in China. That's from a 2018 poll. And we know from other kind of consumer preferences that folks are willing to pay a little more for Made in America products as well. And so that is part of the value of this label.
So we also see some federal policies governing Made in USA labeling to reflect that it does have value, right? Trying to protect it. Can you give us a little bit of an overview what those policies are?
Absolutely. And I'm going to start with a challenge that many people face today because more and more of us are shopping online, given the pandemic and some of the restrictions that are in place right now. And here's where there is a gap in federal policy. There is no specific requirement that requires country of origin labeling online. So if you look for a product online, you may not know exactly where it is made. And fortunately, there's legislation that would fix that. Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin, Rick Scott, a Republican from Florida, have introduced legislation that would require such a label. It's called the Country of Origin Online Labeling Act. Now, it's certainly not going to get done in 2020, but it seems like a very popular thing to do in 2021. And so first of all, if you're shopping online, it is hard to know what the country of origin labeling. Second is that it's hard to know what Made in America means. And that is because the label can sometimes be diluted or confused. And there's some people who, you know, some importers and some other producers who do want to dilute what that Made in America label means. We favor a very high standard. That is, if you're going to call something Made in America, it needs to have raw materials that are predominantly from the United States. It needs to have all of its component parts be from the United States. It needs to be assembled in the United States. And so folks who want to dilute that want to take advantage of the label without actually having an all-American supply chain. So that is another challenge. And then there are the abusers and the deterrence against the abusers, because there is a lot of fraudulent labeling, either products that are not made in America that are labeled as being made in America, or fudge this issue that I was talking about before, like how much of it was made in America. And the challenge is that the agency that polices this for consumers, the Federal Trade Commission, first of all, it has a very thin budget. Second of all, in cases that have been brought for abuse of the label, there hadn't been any monetary penalties imposed on it until very recently. And so it was easy for cheaters on this to get away with it. And they kind of got a slap on the wrist, and that was it. And so that doesn't serve as any sort of a deterrent against abusing this label. And then I think the other issue that we face are these vast online marketplaces like Amazon that under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which has gotten a lot of notoriety for different reasons, for being a liability shield for big tech companies, it actually prevents, you know, me or you or anybody else from going to Amazon and saying, this was fraudulently labeled, you should be held to account for it. And Amazon can just simply say, well, under Section 230, we're not. And so that serves as a shield for them, that they don't have to care about this as much. And so when you have the online retailers who don't have to care about it, when you have the abusers of this who don't have to care about it, it makes it very hard to police. And so we've spent a lot of time trying to encourage the FTC and encourage lawmakers to strengthen their enforcement of these labeling laws. And we've recently had some success in that regard as well.
Can you share that? Where have you actually seen efforts being successful in terms of seeing consequences for fraudulent use of the Made in USA label?
Yeah. Well, Kat, first it took some really egregious examples of abuse of this, of like a hockey puck that was basically called like a patriotic puck or
patriot puck.
A backpack maker that was, you know, very much looked like a Made in America backpack that wasn't made in America. And, you know, in neither case did these companies receive, again, anything other than kind of what I would call a slap on the wrist. But Williams-Sonoma, which I think is a fairly well-known brand, recently did face a fine for Made in America labeling abuse and had to pay it. And it was a pretty dramatic change in terms of the FTC's enforcement approach to this. And we should fully disclose that we have urged the FTC to do this over the years, both in terms of written communications and also at workshops that they've had where I've testified about the importance of the Made in America label, along with American producers and the consumers, the folks who do Consumers Report, making it into a consumer's right to know issue as well. And so we're starting to see some success. But as I said at the outset, the enforcement budget of the FTC for this is pretty limited. So we need to boost that as well.
So as we look ahead to the Biden administration in the next 4 years, do you see hope for greater stringency when it comes to Made in USA enforcement policy? We've seen some really good steps happen in 2020. Can we see that continue?
Yeah, I am optimistic because, and again, Donald Trump fashioned himself as a Made in America president, even though from a business organization perspective, he hadn't really cared about it before he came into office. He talked about it a lot and didn't do anything. And the FTC finally recently has begun to step up a little, but it's still in the nascent stages. And so one of the big surprises of, I think, Biden's Build Back Better plan was that he had a whole section in there on ending false advertising and cracking down on companies that label products as made in America, even if they're coming from China. And so he said right there in his plan that he intends to have a more aggressive enforcement posture. And that's certainly something that we welcome and something that I think that will receive a bipartisan warm reception as well, because this is not a partisan issue.
And While we're talking about Made in USA labeling, I think it's really relevant. We should mention that we've got a great resource on the Alliance for American Manufacturing website, americanmanufacturing.org, that people can go to for other Made in USA and Made in America companies. Can you share a bit about that?
Yeah, this is something we've been doing for a number of years now. And we have a general Made in America directory of companies. And then around holiday season, we specifically have a list of products from all 50 states that might make a great gift. And I'll just add an important caveat here, which is that we rely on the companies to police the label. We're not a labeling entity, but it is a helpful guidepost, I think, for consumers to be able to support companies that have invested in American jobs. And we found that it is wildly popular. So we know that there is demand for it. And we know there's demand for this, not only through that, but when you see Made in America advertisements, they tend to be prominent, they tend to be well labeled. And so that's one of the reasons why the label must actually mean something and must be policed and enforced in an adequate way to protect consumers and to protect American jobs.
Great. Thank you so much, Scott, for explaining a little bit more about what Made in USA means as a label and how we can make sure that it retains its integrity, because it is really important for communities and for consumers. Thank you so much.
Kat, thank you.
That's it for the Manufacturing Report today. I'm Kat Adams. You can find the Alliance for American Manufacturing's Made in America directory and holiday gift guides at americanmanufacturing.org. Tune in tomorrow for my in-depth conversation with the owner of a small manufacturing company as we explore how the U.S. government can set the foundation for a resurgence in domestic manufacturing. Be sure to subscribe to the Manufacturing Report on Spotify or wherever you find your podcasts, and let us know what you think by leaving a review and a rating. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram, or connect with us on Twitter at Keep It Made in USA. Thanks for joining me.